There has never been, nor will there ever be, an Olympic athlete who winds up on the podium for a gold medal and says, "I have no idea how I got here." They might say in awe, like, "I have no idea how I got here." But generally, they're going to know exactly how they got there. The sacrifices that they had to make, the relationships that were affected, the practices over and over, the diet, that they know exactly how they got to where they are today, to be able to receive the gold medal. It's sought with intention, with desires that become actions, actions that lead to sacrifices, sacrifices that lead to habit and character and proven virtue and endurance and continuing to show up over and over and over and over again. That no one just stumbles haphazardly onto Olympic gold medal. This is an important point for the moral life or the good life. If I want to live a large and abundant life, if I don't want to just shrivel into nothing, one of the important principles is that I always have to begin with the end in mind. Anything that I'm going to do has to be worth doing. So I don't just continue to twiddle my fingers and do nothing, but I do things with intention, with purpose. There's a motivation beyond the thing that I'm doing right here. You students know this, hopefully. You study and you go to class so that you can get a good job, so that you can be paid well, so that you can support a family, so that you can retire and then die in peace. More or less, a little bit of wiggle room. Or if you're discerning marriage, you have to think, is this boyfriend, is this girlfriend, is this crush, is this person the sort of person that I want to marry? Are they the sort of person that's going to push me, that's going to help me, that's going to assist me? Are they going to bring me closer to God? Are they going to be able to support children in a home? That we have to begin always with the end in mind. And is the end actually worth it? Am I willing to spend my energy towards that? Am I willing to spend my money towards that? Is this person worth my time? Yes, they're a child of God, but do I have to invest all of myself towards them? That we always have to begin with the end in mind. In the gospel today, Jesus gives us two examples of that. That first and foremost, which of you is going to construct a tower but doesn't even consider how much resources that you have? Are you going to be able to finish this project? Or who of you are going to send, as a king does, out into battle? You're going to send 10,000 troops and realize the opponent has 20,000 troops. That you have to start with the intention in mind, and then we work backwards. What do I need to do to get there? What are the actions I need to take here and now? Maybe the goal seems so far away, fleeting, and maybe, just maybe, I'll hit the mark eventually. But people who are serious take intentional steps towards it. That if I'm going to build a tower, if I'm going to build a home, I've got to make sure I have the resources, the people, the materials, all of the things. And then there's steps that need to be taken to be able to get there. But that I can't live life haphazardly. There's always going to be accounting or a reckoning of what it takes for me to move from A to B or A to Z. But right now I might only know A, B, and C. And then we're going to figure out the rest as we go. But I know the first initial steps. And then God's going to fill in the gaps along the way. And yet there's always a cost. We don't like that. It always demands something of us. Something that I oftentimes have to hold lightly in my hands. Maybe I need to surrender this. I need to stop holding on so firmly to this desire or this sin or this relationship. And maybe the Lord's actually asking me to turn that over to Him. In trust and in confidence that He's going to take care of it. This gospel is from Luke chapter 14. And at this point, we're just seeing all of the really cool things that Jesus does. And it's no wonder that at the beginning of this passage, we hear great crowds were traveling with Jesus. They just wanted to see what He was going to do next. There was something magnetic, attractive about Him. That He was healing the sick. He was teaching with authority. All the parables, all the stories that He's giving to them, they're thronging to Him. And yet, they're just fans of Him so far. They're big fans of Jesus. And here, in this gospel, He's going to draw a line in the sand. just as the Lord is about to pop off and go viral, he draws a line in the sand and says, if you want to be my disciple, this is what's going to be asked of you. And he tells us, if anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And we're really confused by that. Like, if anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, like, what's the truth there, Lord? Do you really want us to hate our mom and dad, our sister and our brother, even ourselves? That you're encouraging some sort of self-hatred? There's some really important key truths in all of that. Jesus, first and foremost, is making a claim that he is God. Unless you come after me. Muhammad never said that about himself. Confucius never said that about himself. Mahatma Gandhi never said that about himself. But Jesus is the one. All of the saints that we've read, all of the Old Testament prophets would never point to themselves. John the Baptist, the greatest to be born among women besides Jesus. John the Baptist never said, come follow me. He said, behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who's going to take away the sins of the world. He points to Jesus, and yet Jesus points to himself. Unless you come after me. Jesus is making a claim that he is God. And if that's the case, then he's the most important relationship that you and I are going to have. More important, in fact, than the relationship you have with your wife, with your husband, with your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your crush, your friends. Then, in fact, Jesus deserves a primacy of place in how often we let somebody else supplant him. Somebody else, some other priority or person in our life to take over that. And so Jesus is going to ask us, not necessarily in our emotions, to love him more, but in our intellect and in our will, that I'm going to choose to show up for the Lord day by day, each and every day. And that if anything gets in the way, we will simply remain a fan of Jesus, but we will not be his disciple. You can remain a fan of Jesus, but you will not be his disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And I want to ask, how many compromises do we make? How many compromises do we make in our own lives? Yes, here's the goal. But if I just get this, it's probably fine. Yes, this is the goal, but right now I really want to do this thing, and it's probably an impediment to my goal, and so I sort of let myself slack off. How many times do we compromise to let ourselves off the hook, to not really press on to pursue excellence, that we tolerate sin, and we will constantly sort of say it was just this one time, when really it's the 100th time you've said it's just one time, that we compromise our own standards. We compromise whatever it is, that goal that we're pursuing. Olympians don't stumble onto the gold medal podium. Saints don't stumble into heaven haphazardly asking, how did I get here? They answer that question knowing exactly how they got there, that they surrender their life to the Lord Jesus, who demanded that we would put him before all other things to cast away all idols. They know exactly how they got there. It was Jesus who led them the whole way, and Jesus who opened up their hearts and the gates of heaven so that they could be brought in to be with him. Today, Pope Leo, I hope you heard this, today Pope Leo canonized two saints. One died when he was 24 years old, the other died when he was 15. Saint, it's the first time I'm saying this, Saint Pier Giorgio Frassati, who grew up in northern Italy, and Saint Carlo Acutis, who grew up in central Italy and a little bit of London. Saint Pier Giorgio Frassati was a mountain climber. I'm not really interested in mountain climbing. Don't ask me to go. Not interested. He was a mountain climber. And so his eyes were always fixed upwards. And sort of the motto of his life, how he would urge his friends on, how he would urge on the poor people that he would interact with. He would say in Italian, verso l'alto, towards the heights. Let's pursue excellence. Let's cast our eyes upwards. Let's go towards the heights to keep climbing, to keep pursuing, to persevere in it. And then St. Carlo Acutis, who was literally born 2 years before me. Do you understand that? what am I doing with my life? San Carlo Acutis was born 2 years before me. You can figure out the math on your own. And he's so beautiful. Like, yes, he's a child who's 15 years old, and he has such beautiful little sayings that capture me time and time again. He's the patron saint of the internet because that's where he spent a lot of his time doing researching Eucharistic miracles and then publishing it online for everyone to see. He says, "The Eucharist is my highway to heaven." No back roads. The Eucharist is my highway to heaven. And as we come and adore the Eucharist as Carlo Acutis did, as we receive him in the Eucharist, that a real union of hearts happens. That God became flesh, and he gave his flesh for the life of the world. The Eucharist is our highway to heaven. Bishop McKnight traveled to Italy in May, and we had requested a relic of Carlo Acutis. So it's up here. It's a piece of his hair. You got to come check it out afterwards. A little piece of a saint is in our midst today. And so why do we compromise? Why do we settle when the Lord calls us to great heights? The question when you get to heaven isn't, how did I get here? The question when you get to heaven is, thank you, Lord. The saying is, thank you, Lord. I didn't trust you at first, but now I do. I see all the ways that you were calling me out of my own complacency, out of my own nothingness, to an abundant life with you. We're not going to stumble into heaven. We're going to run there in friendship, having surrendered to the Lord and offering our lives to him. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Lord Jesus, we don't want to be your fans. We truly want to be your disciples.